Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I've had a couple times this season when I thought the Red Sox were done, but then they would always go on a little run. But this time, I don't know. It feels like this might be it with just a few weeks left to go.
Yeah, the math does not look good at this point. And beyond the math, Rich, it's how they're playing or how they're not playing. The offense has been brutal for the last 2 weeks, hitting under 200, averaging just over two runs a game. You know, it's funny. There have been a number of times during the season where they've been hampered by different elements of their game. Early in April, it was some of the same defensive shortcomings we saw a year ago. Those mostly got fixed. Then in June and July, the pitching started to hit the wall. And for the last couple of weeks, as I noted, it's been the offense. And, you know, the sad thing is that there was an opening here because both the Royals and Twins have stumbled badly in the last couple of weeks. And had the Red Sox just played a little bit over 500 in that stretch, they'd be right in the middle of it. But they haven't, and they're not.
So what happened to this team that was, 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break? Obviously, there were a lot of big injuries this year, and the pitching staff seemed to run out of gas. What was the fatal weakness in this club?
Well, I think overall it was pitching. It got them off to a surprising start in April and the first half of May. But if you look at the numbers, the staff ERA has gone up every month since the first one. I would say that reflects a number of issues. One, it may have something to do with the young pitchers hitting a wall. Many of them are now at innings pitched that they had previously not reached before. So I think there's some fatigue. And I think you also have to look at kind of the game plan that Andrew Bailey drew up early in the year, where they kind of pitch backwards, right? Through more off-speed and breaking pitches than relied on fastballs. And it seemed like that kept them in good stead for the first 6 weeks or so. But eventually the rest of the league caught up. And third is injuries and depth. They just did not have the wherewithal to withstand when guys needed some time. Pavetta spent a couple of stints on the IL. You know, everybody, it seems, has had some period where they weren't in perfect shape physically, and they didn't have the answers either on their own roster or in their minor league system.
Last night, they wasted a pretty good outing from Cutter Crawford, who has bounced back a little bit lately and certainly has given them, I would say, for the season, a lot more than they might have expected.
Yeah, he's taken a nice step forward this year. There's no question about that. He had that run in the middle of the year where he was getting tattooed by the long ball, and he did give up one last night to Lindor. But, you know, anytime you give up two runs in six innings, especially to a pretty hot team, you would expect that you'd have a pretty good chance of winning that game, but not the way the Red Sox are hitting, or more to the point, not the way the Red Sox are not hitting.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. So what are they looking for? What's the shopping list entail going forward into the offseason?
Well, to me, it's almost all pitching. That isn't to say that they couldn't use another right-handed bat, particularly with Tyler O'Neill headed for free agency. And I think it's going to be hard to keep him. He's probably at the age where he's going to want some security. I would imagine as much as they need right-handed pop, they might not want to commit to somebody who has been as injury-prone as O'Neill. Guys who have that kind of issue typically don't get healthier as they get into their 30s and more durable. So they could use a right-handed bat or even two, but I think a lot of it has to be on pitching. They have to go out and get that number one guy or a guy that can be a number one guy. Maybe that's Houck in time. Maybe that's Bayo in time, but it's not now. And while I find it hard to believe that they're going to go toe-to-toe with a bunch of other teams on guys like Corbin Burnes or Max Fried, because John Henry has a stated issue with signing starting pitchers 30 and older, and both those guys are going to be right around 30 as they hit free agency. I think the way they go out and address that need is to trade for a guy. And what they have to do is find the next Tarik Skubal. They've got to find the guy who might be 24, 25, 26, who hasn't yet put it all together, but is close to figuring it out. And then they've got to put together a package that either involves one of their big four. I now add Christian Campbell to that mix of Teal and Anthony and Meyer. Maybe it's one of those guys and somebody else off the roster. They may end up having to move Jaron Duran in order to fill that need. But to me, they have to go out and find a number one starter that they can control for a number of years. And because I don't think that's going to come via free agency for the reasons I just talked about, then they have to get creative and find someone that they can develop and identify as a number one starter and make a trade for him.
You mentioned Marcelo Meyer, who is out for the season and has not played a lot of games over the course of the last couple of years. Has the organization's opinion of him changed any going forward as a result of this?
Well, they still believe he's a very talented player. And when you look at the numbers and how he performed at AA Portland this year, it's hard to argue with that. Even the updated Baseball America rankings have him as still a top 20 prospect in the game. He's an above average defender. He's an excellent offensive performer. But you do have to worry a little bit. Is this guy, are there questions about durability here? This is now two seasons in which his year has been cut short by injury. Last year it was the left shoulder that kept him out of most of the second half, and now it's the lumbar lower back. So is this something that is going to typify his career, or is it just kind of bad luck 2 years in a row? Again, there's a lot to like about the player and the performance, but you have to be a little concerned where 2 years in a row he's not able to finish the second half of the season.
Sedan Rafaela has certainly made a great stride this year. His future, I have to assume, is in center field and not shortstop.
Yeah, I would think so, if only because, you could say that that's because he's been more consistent in the field as a center fielder than he has been at short. But I think it's more about the logjam in the middle of the infield. You know, they've got, even if Meyer's not ready to make the team out of spring training, you presumably will have a healthy Trevor Story to start the year. And then at some point you have to choose there, and maybe that involves moving one or the other over to play second base. There's also Campbell, who's in the mix, who can play second base. David Hamilton showed you a lot this year. I still think there are questions about him as a hitter, as an everyday player, but as a defender and base runner, he certainly established himself. So it would seem that Rafaela is best ticketed for center field, and that may be the one thing that kind of frees up Duran as a trade piece. If you have Rafaela in center, if you feel like Abreu can develop into an everyday player and not just the platoon guy to play against right-handed pitching, and then you've got Anthony on the way, then you've got your outfield covered for a long time, and you can maybe afford to trade Duran. But yeah, I would say that Rafaela's future here is going to be in the outfield.
And Connor Wong has had a very successful season for them. What does that mean for Kyle Teal's future?
Yeah, well, again, I think the fact that none of those big three or big four guys made it to Boston, and I don't think they will in the next 3.5 weeks either. It's, I guess, an outside chance of maybe Anthony or Campbell getting a look-see over the final couple of weeks, but there'd be no rush to get Teal here. And then do you really want a guy in spring training next year making the team and either being the number one or the backup without having played a single inning of big league baseball before? We know that there's a lot to learn as a catcher. You've got to in addition to, you know, your hitting responsibilities, you've got to learn how to call a game at the big league level. You've got to be comfortable with the whole pitching staff and learn the repertoires of, you know, more than a dozen pitchers on the run. I would think that Teal becomes a factor by, say, May or June of next year, and I would put Meyer on that same timetable. But it's hard to think that that Teal is going to be given a roster spot coming out of spring training. I think, you know, Wong will start the year as the number one catcher. They'll find another veteran backup, whether it's bringing Danny Jansen back or finding somebody else. But, you know, Teal is still very young, particularly, you know, you look at the best Red Sox catcher of the last 40 years, that's Jason Veritek, and he really didn't establish himself as an everyday catcher until he was about 27 and played in college as Teal did, in fact, in the same conference. So I think they want to be careful not to rush him.
Given the way things are going of late, do you think we'll see Trevor Story before the season ends?
Yeah, I would think so. He's only played a couple of games, Sunday and Monday, off yesterday, supposed to play today again for Worcester. You know, he'll need to get his timing down again and feel comfortable in live game setting. But he's had no physical setback, so there's been some speculation that he might be even activated this weekend. If not then I would expect before this homestand ends. So you've still got almost 3 weeks this weekend left. I don't know how much he'll play. I think they'll be careful about his workload, given all he's been through. But I'd be very surprised if he weren't on the active roster, say, a week from tonight.
They lose, of course, Kenley Jansen at the end of the season. Are there any internal candidates to be the closer next year?
Well, I would think that Liam Hendricks goes into the offseason as the presumptive closer. He has done it before. He is healthy, having recovered from Tommy John. Everybody knows that that first year back, which could be this one, and he could, too, be activated in the next week. I think what they'll like most of all is the opportunity to give Hendricks the full winter and off season to build back arm strength and treat it like a normal year rather than rehabbing. But I expect that the reason he got signed back in spring training with a with an option for 2025 was in the back of their mind, they're thinking about having him be the guy who gets the ninth inning. And Jansen, I would expect, would probably try to go back to the Dodgers. He's made no secret that he would like to pitch in L.A., which has become his adoptive hometown. Seems like there would be a contending team, the Dodgers or somebody else, that would be in the market for him. I can't see the Red Sox paying him another $16 million or more per season next year, particularly when they have a cheaper alternative in Hendricks.
Sean McAdam, MassLive.com. Sean, great talking with you. As always, appreciate you making time for us, and we'll catch up with you again before the season wraps.
Sounds good, Rich. Thanks.
You bet. Sean McAdam on Downtown. We're at 18 after the hour.